be that this individual becomes very enamored and falls in love with the idea of getting the coin of life very quickly, and hits upon the idea of putting the money into that thing that you have calling chance. Is this right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Have I this right? So they make for the game of chance and they lose. So they do it again and again and again and again until they destroy themselves and their family. Yeah? Is this right?
Yes.
Now, oneness does not step in and stop this from happening. How is that? Because sometimes oneness has the wisdom to know that this soul has a lesson to learn, a lesson of great importance. And those around the family have a lesson of great importance to learn also. To continue to love this one, even though they are causing great destruction, is not an easy thing. However, the loving must continue. The acceptance of the behavior does not. So what happens is, the family come together and say to the one, no more. You do this no more. For now, you are upon your own self. You will need to make for yourself your own life, your own way in this world, because this family is going to close its doors to you until you learn. Until the family does this thing and closes the doors, this one is not going to learn anything. They have to, sometimes the soul has to lose everything before they will turn at last to oneness and say, oneness, here am I am lost, I need you. I need you to come and make this right. You know? Sometimes the soul is rebellious and runs away from oneness and does not want to be with oneness. Many times the souls run away from oneness. They are frightened that if they commit to oneness, that they will have responsibility. So they have to find their own way, and the only way to do it sometimes is to lose it all. They have to keep making the mistake over and over again until they nearly lose it altogether. And then they have the opportunity to turn to oneness. Now those around, you can close the doors and you can say, when you ask oneness for your help, then the doors can open to you once more. When it comes from your heart to oneness, we will know, because oneness will tell us now. Do you understand?
This is a good lesson.
So it means that you're not, you're closing down, but you're not rejecting
right. The
person, only the behavior, and you are saying, we will not have you do this to us anymore. This is not good behavior to us. This is not showing love to us. And it is not showing love to yourself. And it is not showing honor and love to oneness that you do this to yourself. And in the event that the soul recognizes the connection between themselves and oneness, that they will go and seek, eventually will go and seek oneness. Sometimes not by the happiest way, however, it is the way that they have to do it, because that is the path they have set for themselves. And those in the family have come to assist the soul in that journey. And later on, when realization comes and insight and the light is shining, the soul can then say, "Thank you, my family, for helping I through this difficult part of the journey. Thank you for saying no to I. Thank you for not enabling I to continue in this way." That day will come eventually.
Yeah.
Not necessarily at that point. It will come. No.
Respect to patients. I sometimes feel guilty of not doing enough.
Oh, I like that word.
I know.
I do like that word. It's a beautiful word. I like it when you feel guilty. Because it shows that you have a conscience. It shows that you are feeling that you haven't done all that you are aware you are capable of for oneness. It demonstrates to I that when you're using that word, that you are aware on some level in your being that you would like to do that. So it demonstrates two things. One, remorse, which we have said before, and the other one, the promise of redemption. Oh, this is wonderful. Is it not? Do you not like this word guilty? I am guilty of this crime. I am so guilty of this crime. Is that right? I seek redemption. Redeem I. How can I be redeemed in your eyes? Out of the depths, I cry to thee, my Lord. Is that right? You know that one? Out of the depths, I cry to thee, O Lord, hear my prayer. Yes, is that right? So, what is your prayer? You feel guilty. What is your prayer to oneness? Take a breath.
To live my life more meaningfully. To contribute to oneness by serving others. Although I feel I might be lacking discipline to progress faster on that way.
So what have we here? We have a desire to serve
oneness.
Very good. And how do we want to desire to serve oneness?
By recognizing the guidance and following the needs. And trust to the little voice that would say no, or stop, or wait. I'm actually just looking for that. Although, sometimes I do have my ideas, which I wouldn't like to have much of them.
Let us go back a little. So, the process begins with the feeling of being guilty about not seeming to achieve enough on behalf of oneness. Lord, I need your help. I need you to redeem I. Where is the book of words? We need to have the book of words. Very important. We're going to do this lesson in different way now. Oh no, the book of words you want is for all the big wordings. That's the big wordings that you need. That's the one. Finding this wording, redemption. Oh, I like this. This is good. It gets into what it is you need to achieve for yourself. Redemption. How many times are you hearing this word?
Not very often.
How to redeem yourself. What does the word mean? What does redemption mean?
Okay.
Regenerate yourself.
Shall I read?
Yeah. Read.
The act or an instance of redeeming, the process of being redeemed, man's deliverance from sin and damnation, a thing that redeems.
So in order to redeem is to gather back to yourself, is that right? Supposing you need to redeem the coin of life from somebody, what are you doing? You say, give it back. It's not yours, give it back. You owe it back here, is that right?
So
you are saying to oneness, oneness, call me back. Call me back to yourself. I am a child of the universe. I have made mistakes. I have made the sin, as you call it, the sin. I am not pure anymore. I would like to be one with you once more. Redeem I, if you would. Bring I back to you. Father, Mother, hear I prayer. Redeem I. You know? So you having the guilty is a cry for redemption. A cry to oneness. Please, oneness, I wish to be redeemed. Yeah? Is that right? I wish to be redeemed, please. And that is a cry from the heart, not from the head. When you make a cry to oneness, it must always come from the heart. You cannot do it from the head. Guilt is a feeling. It is not in your head. This is how I say, I am so pleased to hear this wording, because it's coming from your heart and not from your head, you know. So that is a very big step you have made. Wonderful. So now you know, one of the first steps is redemption. You feel the guilt, and then you have a prayer for redemption. And then when you are redeemed, what happens? You sit up there next to oneness on the cloud like this and you twiddle your thumbs. No! You don't do that. That's not what happens to you. This is the time when you then will find oneness will say, very good, my child. Now you can take action. Is that right?
So you're reborn?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You have a rebirth for yourself. So you come into your springtime. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Spring is rebirth. It is growth. It is new things. Little lambs running around with their little tails running. You know how it is. It's springtime. So you are reborn in the light of oneness once more. You are made pure. Now there are no limits to how many times you fall and how many times you are made pure. You know, don't imagine because you are made pure you're going to stay pure forever in the whole of your life. That's not humanly possible unless you are saint. I don't know anybody living on the earth that is saint. Everybody's saint, you know. Were that so, there would be no killing of each other, there would be no wars, and everybody would love each other, and you would be living in the Garden of Eden. Is that right? So you are not saints. You are souls that are striving to become saints and not quite making it. You know? So you become redeemed, you become reborn, and for a while you will do the bidding of oneness. You will find that your fall from grace, each time you redeem yourself, will become less. You will not fall from grace so quickly the next time, or the next time, and so on, until you get it right. And by that time, you're ready to leave this earth and go back home anyway. So it doesn't matter anymore for this time. And then you come back and you do it again. Only next time, you might be a better person to begin with. You know, however, the fall from grace is not forever. No soul needs to fall from grace forever. Not even the worst person that you can imagine needs to fall from grace forever. All souls have an opportunity at some point to be redeemed. And that includes anybody, even those you may consider to be monsters in this life. The most disgusting and perverted of monsters. They have their souls also at some point have an opportunity to be redeemed. That is not for you to say when, it is only for oneness to know when. You understand? You resist them. While they are monsters, they are being whispered by the Lord of Chaos. You resist them. You
You hold them away. You hold them at bay. You say no to them. You say no to the Lord of Chaos. You say, get away until oneness is ready for them to be redeemed. You don't decide. They don't decide. Initially, oneness will know when it is time. You know? That's the special thing about oneness. Oneness knows everything. You don't. Oneness knows everything. All that you have to do is to pass on to everybody that you meet the truths that you learn, the truths that you hear, and the truths that you know will bring about the fostering of the light, the fostering of oneness, the following in the footsteps of love that Jesus gave you. To teach this, to pass it on, to give it to as many people as you can. This is your task. The task of Sonji is only to bring you this, to give you the heart to continue when you are feeling tired and wondering, do I have to do this for much longer? Oneness, I'm very tired, you know. You know, this is how it is. I'm only a voice of truth to bring the truth to the people. Nothing more. So continue being redeemed. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Now. What else?
I've got a short question.
Doesn't mean it has a short answer.
I went to teachings of one that called himself enlightened Maitreya Ishvara. I just wanted to know how truthful and how much truth comes from him.
I have already given you the answer to this night. Have I not?
Mm-hmm.
I have given you the answer already to this. I have already looked into your minds and your hearts, and I have answered as many of the questions that you have had inside of you, waiting for answers. Some of them are not answered this night. They will be answered another time. But that question has been answered. What is truth?
What you can apply to your everyday life and test it. And it works for you always.
It stands the test of time.
Yes.
So you apply it and see, and it works. And the event, it does not work, and it is not a truth. It may be truth for that moment. It may be human truth, which is mutable. However, it is not a truth of oneness. Truth. So there are many people around your planet who are bringing oneness truth in many different ways. They will bring oneness truth. However, be very careful, because sometimes the oneness truth is wrapped up in the ego self of the human truth. Be very careful. And this is where your gift of discernment comes in. This is how it is. I give you this all the time. I give this message. The truth will stand the test of time. It will be the same in moons past and now and in moons to come. You know? You can apply that truth to something you know of history. And imagine the same situation now and apply it, and it will be true. And the same in an imaginary time to come. And it will remain true. You can apply it to all the little things of your life. It is like It is like the builder's plumb line, you know? It shows you what is straight and true, what is standing upright, you know? Is that right? Is there not something in that other book of words that says about the plumb line, the story? Is there not a story about the plumb line?
This is what you call a fulcrum sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, the fulcrum is something different. No, that is different. The plumb line is the thing that the builder uses to make certain that the wall is standing straight.
We use it to measure the straightness of a person standing.
What about the straightness of the soul?
This is how you use this truth that I give you.
Are you talking about the plumb line? Is there a story in the Bible about the plumb line?
That's right. I am also saying that the truth of oneness is as the plumb line. It gives you that which is standing, true.
Mm. Yeah, I felt something and my question was directed.
Learn to discern one thing from the other. Sift it out. Don't dismiss others as not being honest, because many come to bring the wordings with goodness in their heart.
Sanjay, so how much of the Bible is the truth? Because I've been reading the Bible lately.
The Bible that you read, as you call it, is a book of history. It is a story of events that have taken place in the lives of many peoples in a nation. It is a story of a nation and the nations. And so there is truth in it. However, remember that all historians will write from their own perspective, always. Also remember that things that have been written in a language that will explain certain events that take place in a manner that the people can best understand them. Also remember that I have also given you information that not all the books are in your Bible. Some of your books are missing. They have been withheld and kept from you.
But is the Bible not made of two basic books, which would be perhaps from God? That being the First Testament, which is really the Torah, and the Second Testament, which is the Gospel.
That is right. However, within those testaments, there are books, you know. Each one, you have different stories of different peoples, chronicles, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And in those books that make up the one book,
yes,
there are some that are missing. Moment, please. A word that you would perhaps understand better. Chapters. The chapters, some of them are missing. I call them books because they were written by different people, so were books in themselves, and have not been included in this. Remember that when this book was put together, it was put together by humankind that had a desire to dominate.
Yes.
You know? So they made it in such a way that only what they wanted to teach the people would be available to them. You understand? Remember too that in times past that only certain peoples were able to do these scribings and to be able to read the scribings. So the people were at the mercy of those that could do scribings and could read scribings. This is true of all information of any nature. In this way is power. Power of the earth, carnal power over the people. It is a good way to keep people doing what you want them to do in a way that you want them to do it. What happens then is when people learn to do the scribings and to read for themselves, they start to ask questions. Terrible thing, this thing, when people start to ask questions, because then they want answers, you know, and then the power shifts. It shifts from those that have been in power, it shifts a little bit to the people. The people want to know the answer. So they then want to know if this is really the truth and I have to do this thing. And they say this word, and I have to say it because this is a word they say. If this is so, then why does this oneness allow all these dreadful things to happen and so on and so forth? This is one of the first questions they start to ask. And those that are in power don't have a correct answer, so they make one up.
Yeah.
And they say, it is written so that oneness says that all this is going to happen. Oneness wants all this to happen. Nonsense. Oneness does not want destruction. Oneness does not want to hurt and harm. It is not the direction of oneness that it comes. It is from the Lord of Chaos that the destruction comes. However, in the old stories, there are lessons. There are lessons in the event that you go against oneness, you will be punished. Is that right? You don't do this right, you get your hand smacked. Now, at that time of evolution on the planet, humankind were needing to have a stern father, you know, to give them a direction. And the stern father said, in the event you don't do this right, I will have to smack your hand. I will punish you. Is that right? However, in the time of evolution, as the people grew and came away from that, then came the other, which was the Jesus that you know, who come to teach you love. Not to take the eye, but to give love instead. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the times after that, there are peoples who want to govern other peoples. And they see the power in these scribings. So they take the scribings and they put them together in another book. And they put it with the first book and say, this is the word of oneness. You must follow this exactly. What they don't tell you is that they haven't put all the books in there, because there's lots of other people reading that have written, scribing down the books and put for them to go together. A lot of these books are hidden away. They are hidden away in the caves, and they have not been put out for you to read. Each of the stories in the book, both the old one and the new one, are told from the perspective of the teller, you know. Not wrong, not untruths, only from their perspective. When you go from this place, you could write a book about what happened this night. Your story of what happened this night would be different from what this one write.
Yes.
And what this one write does not make anybody wrong. It is only that it is your perspective of this thing. Now, there are some, it may be, that somebody would say, let's put them all together in a book. But they leave that one. They don't put her story in it. And the reason they don't put it in, I'm going to guess, may have they don't put it in because it doesn't fit in with everybody else's. May have her perspective of what has happened is very different to yours. She was not here for all of this. She missed some of it. So it's not valid. We won't put it in. Oh, big mistake! Because this one did not hear some of it, because this one perhaps was not meant to hear some of it, and so had to go to do something else. Do you understand?
Yes.
So it does not mean it's not valid. It means only that that one did not be party to it at that moment. So it needs to go in with everything else, because it's still a perspective. And out of the perspective comes a picture. You know? So the truth, what is the truth of this book? Whether it be your Bible, your Quran, or any other scribings over faith, what is the truth? You look at the whole, you read the whole, and ask yourself, what is the message of this whole? The chronicles of the first book, the chapters of the first book, what are the message of that first book? There's much in that book. It tells you how you came into being. It tells you about the many peoples that ruled the nations of that time. It tells you about the families. It tells you about who did what to who. It tells you about the wars. And through it all, there is a thread of a truth. And what is that truth? Oneness is the true power. Oneness is the mighty power that rules the nations. Not one nation, all the nations. When the people wanted to come, the chosen people wanted to come out of Egypt. They could not leave. What was the reason? After many, 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 many generations of being subjugated by the Egyptians, how come they couldn't leave this place? God had not said now. Is that right? God had not said now. He had said, wait. March on the spot. For generations, march on the spot. They're just about given up. And then somebody comes along. God sends somebody along, to take them out, away from this place. And what happens? He can't get them out. What is the reason he can't get them out? What does it say in the scribings? God made Pharaoh's heart hard. So you say to yourself, what was that? What did God do? God made the man's heart hard after generations of us attempting to come out of this place and sending us somebody, a savior, to get us out. He goes and makes the man's heart hard. What was the point of that? The message is that oneness is the power. You want something to happen, you have to trust in oneness. You have to give it to oneness. And the lesson from that message and from all the other messages in the stories is oneness is the power. When the hardened heart became soft and was told the people may leave, and then supposedly God hardened the heart again, so there they all are running like crazy, wanting to get away, you know, and there they are being chased by everybody who wants to kill them. Is it oneness that have hardened the heart? Is it oneness who hardened the heart, or is it the Lord of Chaos who have whispered in the ear the words of madness, the words of destruction, the words of disunity and disharmony, the words of greed, the words of domination, the words of aggression? Is it oneness who has done this thing? However, it is oneness power that brings the people away. It is oneness power that brings to the people the knowledge that they are to move now. In that moment, oneness managed to tell the people now. Out of the mouth of the Pharaoh was coming the words, you can go now. Magic word, now you can go. So they went. They didn't wait, they went. So this is it. Now oneness will use the power to smite down the enemies of light. This is a truth. However, oneness does this by using the power of nature, not the powers of other people. Oneness does not pit one army against another. One uses the power of nature. Do you understand?
Yes.
It is oneness power to bring extraordinary nature to bear, to change the course of mankind. And in the story of the people escaping from their bondage is a story of extraordinary power being brought to bear to part the waters of the great sea, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So here you have a demonstration of the power of oneness. Either you believe in that power of oneness or you don't. If you believe in it in that book, in the old book, then you surely must believe it in the new book. You cannot believe it in one and not in the other. That is not how it is. You have to read the whole. So the power is in both. Is it not? The power of oneness is supreme for you to follow it, to acknowledge it, to say, oneness, I am your child. Is that right? And in the new book, you have the power of love, which is equally able to move mountains and part the oceans and enable you to walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? The power of love calms the oceans, calms the seas, calms the air. And what is even more beautiful and more wondrous is that you are brought into the new book the knowledge that you as individuals have the right and the power to do this thing also in oneness name. How do I do that? When you go out with your family and you want to have your little vacation with your family and you have from the skies all the water falling and you say this is the one day that I can go to enjoy with the family, you say, oneness, part the heavens and allow the sun to shine for a little while so the family and I can enjoy the sunshine. I know in my heart where it is I'm going. This is it. I have it envisioned in my mind and in my heart. Please be there with the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And oneness will be there with the sunshine. True. You give it a practice. Because this is true. You want to go to a place in your great city and you take your chariot and you don't know where you're going to put your chariot. Is that right? And you say, oh my goodness, there's nowhere to put the chariot. Nowhere to put the chariot. So before you go, you say, oneness, I'm going to the great place and I need to have a place to put the chariot. This is the place I'm going. This is where I need to put the chariot. Please find a place to put the chariot. You get there, somebody calls like that and takes the chariot and you go like that and you put your chariot there. Is that right? Power of oneness. Very small example, however it does come. It works. You put it, you allow it to come through you. You say, oneness, I am your child. I want to do your bidding, and I'm here to do your bidding. However, I need a little bit of help this day. Please. Don't forget the please. Oneness does like the please. So, in all the stories of this great book, you have a truth, the truth of power and the truth of love and the mightiness of oneness. Is that right? And how you can be a reflection of that mightiness in your life. That's how it is. And that's how the story grows to where it is now.
Yeah.
The time is well and truly gone.
Sorry. Would you like to hold your question until the next time we can meet together?
Yes,
put it down as scribings. You can start your own book.
Yes.
The book of Sonji Gathering.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's very good. Thank you, little mother.
Roberta Margaret needs to get up at 5:30, 5:30.
So, I am going to now leave you with this, with all the things that you have learned this night, and to leave you with the truths of all these things. Don't believe them simply because you have heard them come from this mouth and from the energy of Sonji. Believe them because you apply them in your life and find them to be true. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This is not for you to follow blindly. It is for you to follow with knowledge, with insight, with the light of oneness shining for you. You understand? So I leave you with the knowledge of all of this. Be at peace. So be it.
So be it.
So that you might sit and relax, you might like to make for some soundings. And then I will leave you and let White Eagle come and prepare the way for the other to return. What soundings? The one about the angels would be very nice. Then you can all sing with the angels.